Hey, this is Brandon Crawford from the San Francisco Giants, and you're listening to TortureCast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants, with hosts Willie Dills, Chad King, and Ben Lee.
Let's go, Giants! SF Giants! Let's go, Giants! SF Giants!
Dedicated to the greatest team in Major League Baseball history, the San Francisco Giants, this is TortureCast.
Welcome to the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. I'm your host for the night. Episode 96, by the way, getting really close to 100, Chad King, and I am joined all the way from the panhandle, the penis of the United States of America in Florida, is one Eric Nathanson. How you doing, Eric?
I've had better, weeks of watching baseball.
So, yeah, we were commiserating a little bit in the pregame here, the pre-show, pregame warm-up, I guess you can call it. 2 weeks ago was our last podcast, and we do apologize for missing last week, but we had some scheduling issues. Willie is, of course, on this really popular Hearthstone podcast, and they hit episode 100. They went late in the night. Eric, I think you were under the weather, and Ben was traveling from Portland, and so I didn't want to do another one of my patented drunk solo shows.
So but congratulations to Willie's other podcast. That's pretty cool that they
It is
that.
Really cool. And by the way, because we have missed a few episodes here and there, we still have a shot at 100. I planned it out, and if we record every Monday, episode 100 will be right after the end of the season. So.
Oh, wow. So we'll have something to celebrate because,
they won't
the
be
Giants
anywhere.
Aren't going to be something to celebrate.
Episode 100 will be like, yay, the season's officially over.
Yeah, let's eulogize the Giants. Yeah, see? I told you. I knew it was going to get in there already.
Yeah, that's true. So. What the hell did happen, Eric? 2 weeks ago tonight, 2 weeks ago tonight, we just looked this up. They were 1.5 measly games back of the Los Angeles Dodgers for the National League West League. 1.5. And as of right now, it looks like the game's about to end for the Dodgers and Angels. They're about to be 8.5 games back. 7 games in 2 weeks. And yes, we're going to talk about the sweep. But it's beyond that, too. What the hell happened?
Well, all weekend, you hear I'm stuttering because it's just so much, actually. Injuries. I think the bottom line is injuries. Well, injuries and pitching, and we'll get into pitching later. But, I mean, can you imagine if Joe Panik had been healthy for the last month, if Hunter Pence had been healthy for the last month, if Brandon Crawford had been healthy for the last month?
Mm-hmm. Angel
this
Pagan.
This would be – right.
Well, although you're not a fan of his anyway, but
well, no, it would be different though. It would totally be different. You see how good he's been since he's been back. He's been healthy and moving and stuff like that. But I think it's injuries. The Giants they just didn't have enough depth at all. So
now I think that's the biggest difference. We want to talk about injuries, and a lot of people point to the St. Louis Cardinals because they've also been afflicted with many injuries as well, including their Cy Young Award winner and all that. But they're not only in first place, they have the best record by far in all of Major League Baseball, and I think that's the key. They've had the depth to cope with their injuries and incredible pitching. Their team ERA, Eric, their team ERA for the entire season is 2.75. That's better than Madison Bumgarner alone. Okay, that's sick. That is sick. So pitching has clearly been their strength, but even after losing Carpenter and others for the year, they've just had – the farm system has been incredible. I don't know who's doing that was, if it was Duquette back in the day or La Russa had a hand in back of the day or if it's been more recent. I haven't followed too closely, but they've obviously been fine. So, look, injuries are a part of it. We all know what happened in 2011 when Buster Posey got injured. I think that absolutely cost the Giants. We talk about war or whatever. His war is like 4, 5, 6 games a year. So you're talking about they might have lost because that was, in May? They might have lost 3 or 4 games in the standings. And they won 86 that year. And they didn't miss the wild card by that much. So I think that injury single-handedly cost them the playoffs. They still had a decent year. Yeah, 13 was just a crappy year. They were under 500.
Yeah, it was. It's funny because
that was just a crappy year.
As much as Angel doesn't do it for me, I really felt like him getting that inside the park home run tanked that season.
Oh yeah, at the beginning of the season. Yeah.
Yeah, in May when he beat Colorado with the inside and he knocked him out, they had to shift and move the entire rest of the year. So that was what killed it. But you're right, they just stunk.
It's just hard as a Giants fan and obviously someone who's been doing this podcast with Ben and Willie for more than 4 years now. There hasn't been, and this is great. There haven't been too many times where we haven't been able to talk about the Giants not being in contention. And there was, of course, at the end of 2013, and that's really the only time. Because even 2011, they were pretty close all the way down the stretch. They weren't 8.5 games back with 3 weeks to play. They were closer than that. So this is just one of those times where the fall happened very sharply and precipitously. And I think
it was like they were riding up and pushing up and just kind of hanging on the edge. And then all of a sudden, bam, they fell right off.
And I think Ben pushed him over. Ben, are you there?
You know, it's my fault. I'm sorry, guys.
Thanks a lot.
It's all your
world and stately travels.
Well, don't do it again next year.
Well, you realize that the entire reason that I have to keep running places so that I can sneak off and I can, like, kneecap Joe Panic, right?
There you go.
Kneecap. And the entire, like, half of the entire clubhouse.
Yes, yes. You got Affelt with his kids again.
Right.
You got Kane and Huddy and Timmy and
I kneecapped them all in the face specifically.
What'd you do to Pence's oblique? Because apparently that happened on a swing, but maybe you rubbed him up in the wrong way or you altered his weight of his bat so the counterbalance was off. I mean, what did you do?
Oh, I just had to suggest a new deck for him in Hearthstone. Didn't get enough sleep and just
Touché.
I was going to say, I had to hire somebody for that, but that was a better answer. I decided.
So, I'm sure you heard the last 30 seconds or so, but we just opened up here with episode 96. So we're welcoming Ben on the show, who, of course, has been traveling a lot lately. So glad that he's here. We were just talking about, we didn't record last week, but we did 2 weeks ago tonight. And we just looked it up. They were 1.5 games back 2 weeks ago tonight, Ben. Now they find themselves 8.5 games back. And yes, there's the sweep, but seven games in 2 weeks is an unbelievable fall from grace. And we're just trying to wrap our minds around how this actually happened. So I do want to get into the Dodgers series just for a minute here, but let's just look at the numbers. They did lose 3 in a row to LA. Of course, one was in extra innings, which was definitely the definition
painful.
Of torture. All three games were torture. They were.
Absolutely.
But
they were all like one-run games. Yeah.
All three were one-run games.
You don't come out of that the same.
No, you don't. It's like I wouldn't want the Dodger fans to laugh if they were blown out all three games. But as a Giants fan, you almost want to be blown out three games and go, well, there's nothing we could have done. They just got outplayed. But they didn't really get outplayed. They did because, when you sweep a series, you got outplayed. But every game was so close that easily a bounce here or a bounce there. Two of those could have been two wins for the Giants. But it didn't happen. The first game, they were up 3-1. Maybe Bochy let PV in a little too long with the third time through the rotation, through the lineup, and he gave up, two gopher balls that tied or put him in the lead. And, of course, Bird tied it up, and they went to extra innings. They had multiple opportunities in extra innings to score, and they didn't do it. They had multiple opportunities against Greinke and Kershaw. And granted, those two are the leading candidates for the NL Cy Young Award, and that's nothing to shake a stick at. They're supposed to be dominated by those guys, but they still had their shots. And our guys pitched well, too, with Bum and Leak, and it just didn't happen. And so that's a huge swing in the standings, but I want to caution Giants fans saying, if we had won one game, we still would have been in contention. It's like, look, we're 8.5 back now. If they won one game, they'd be 6.5 back right now. It's not great. It's a little bit better, but it's still pretty far out. If they won 2 out of 3, I think 2 out of 3 is kind of the key. They would have been still 4.5 back, which is still a pretty, pretty tall tale for the, remaining, 23 games or what have you. It looks like the way they've been playing lately, it was sweep or nothing else, because that would have put them still 2.5 back of where they are right now. So it's more than the Dodger series, but that certainly was kind of, I don't know, the nail in the coffin of the Giants season, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Sure felt like it. It was one run games. It was games that you felt like they had a chance to win, like you said. And it was like, it wasn't that the Dodgers were better. I think that's the part that still kind of bothers me.
They didn't dominate.
Never felt like
they didn't dominate
at all. And it's like, who are half these guys on the Dodgers that were beating them too? I know Gonzalez had a big part, I think, in one of the wins, but it wasn't like it was they're getting beat around by Puig and getting shut down by Kershaw and Greinke, right. And
they're getting destroyed by a team that is not very good.
Right, well, they're not very good. The Dodgers really aren't that good of a team. They're hitting a stride right now. I don't know. But they're not that good of a team.
You had the first game with the extra inning loss. Of course, I don't think – I was screaming at Peavy to get out after that Gonzo home run.
Yeah.
That tied the game because it was the third time.
Why are you even in there?
The second game
– God, who thought you could pitch?
I know, right?
Even though he's Madison actually Bumgarner. He's been decent this season, but just like, oh, what? I can't – oh.
Sixth inning, no.
Where's my gas mask? Because this stinks.
Mad Bum had only given up one home run to a lefty all year long until he ran into Jock Peterson, of course, hitting 220.
Actually.
So, of course, he rips home run number
Jock
two.
Jock Peterson just gets pissed because he's on the same field as Matt Duffy.
There you go.
I will be back in this discussion again.
I will be relevant.
You will relevant me.
So you had that, and of course he's a native guy, right? He's a Palo Alto boy.
Every time.
It's every time, right?
Of course. Oh yeah, yeah.
Grew up a Giants fan. Yada yada yada. It's like great.
It's like you're talking about somebody. Yeah, it's like somebody that deceased. You always throw in the may he rest in peace.
Peterson.
Something like that.
I know.
And then
if it's not Peterson. It's Jimmy Rollins, right?
So. Yeah. No, the Alameda kid, right?
Right.
And then you get game number three, and you get the guy who the Giants were rumored to be going after for about 4 weeks. Until finally this Kelby Tomlinson kid, the bespectacled Clark Kent facsimile, ends up hitting over 320 so far in the year. And they're like, you know what? That'll do right now. That'll do. We don't need to give her a prospect for a guy who's hitting, 200 or whatever. And what does he do? He comes back and he hits the game-deciding home run
in game three.
And, it was just – it was the baseball gods of the odd year, just rubbing it in. I don't know what it was. There's something about that series that just seemed very mystical, the anti-particle way. You know what I mean? Like for every one of the Giants' magical three seasons, they've had so much magic in terms of championship number one, not only how they won it with a 10-game losing streak by the Padres coming down to the last game of the year and how they went to the playoffs through 2012 where they dominated, but they get in the playoffs and they're down 2-0 to the Reds, 3-1 to the Cardinals and still win it. And then, of course, last year with barely squeaking in with the 1-game playoff, Mad Bum single-handedly taking the team on his back. Every team has had such a unique magic to it. I think for every odd year, there's been the exact antithesis of that unique magic. It's been unique, uniquely bullshit, So
right.
And this was it. It was just like, well, who's going to hit the game tie or the game winning home run? Chase Utley. That'll be the guy. Yeah, let's do that.
I declared him done on our last podcast. Maybe it was one before that. But I'm like, no, he's done. So of course he's the guy that has to do it. And I don't know if he's done much for them since. But it's so infuriating to see crap like that.
Of course it's the guy that we were rumored about, and then all of a sudden just like shows up and just destroys you. Like it's like built-in narrative just waiting to happen.
It was. It was just waiting to happen. I was kind of like, he's on that team. He's not gonna do anything. He's
Womp.
Gunk. Yeah, I was like, if he hit some cherry on the top home run, it wouldn't have mattered. I don't care, but it was the tie-breaking home run.
That was the one that did it.
For me personally, every game in the season counts just as much as any other game in the standings. I think it's a matter of perspective, when it occurs and whom it's against. And for me personally, the two key series of the second half, which has defined the Giants' playoff chances, of course, are the two sweeps, the one in Chicago and the one in L.A., because effectively both of those series are the ones that buried them in those races. They were actually ahead of the Cubs before that series. They get swept, and then suddenly they just, the horses go by them. And now they're, what, 9 games back of the wild card as they stand today?
Yeah. And they're behind the Nats as well.
Yeah, they're up like a game now, exactly. Yeah. And of course, ironically, the Giants are the ones who swept the Nationals in 4 games at AT&T Park, which was just, I mean, that was incredible, but it wasn't directly relevant to a race, right? It was 4 wins. And then they go into L.A. It's like, who needs the freaking wild card? You know, we're in the West race here. They were still 3.5 back going in there, and it was like, okay, right. They need at least 1 to stay 4.5, but let's get 2 to go 2.5, and then just wah, wah, wah.
And is anyone else getting really depressed talking about all the what-ifs that we talked about at the time? Because, man, like, hindsight is 20/20 and all, but, like, when you have to look back at the games out of your ass anyway, things are not great.
No. I mean, I don't care about losing series to the Rockies and Padres at this point.
At this point, no. But I mean, at this point, I'm not even as upset about the games as I am about just like looking at the roster and going, man, RDL would make a really good squad.
Yeah. I mean, that's the narrative. RDL could
win a World Series.
Yeah.
I think the Cardinals think are going to do the same thing, but it's like they're actually doing well without their injured people.
Well, we were talking about that before you came on, and we said the key difference between the Cards and the Giants is pitching and depth. Pitching this year, the Cards lead all of baseball with a 2.75 ERA, which is even better than Mad Bum himself. That's a whole team, okay?
Yeah.
Whole teams don't do better than Cy Young Award contenders. There's just no, he's not going to win it this year, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He's been in the discussion.
Right now, but... Mm-hmm.
And then you got, of course, the depth. They got, you know, they're missing Carpenter. They've had so many injuries this year, it's not even funny, but they just have
and
guys Wayno's that are plugging
out
right
and,
in.
Yeah. They broke basically half their team. They're continuing to break their team with Yadi out and everything else. And it's like, but funny how you're still doing well. And then we just kind of turn around
only,
and like,
yeah, the best team in baseball. That's all.
Right.
Well,
meanwhile, come over to San Francisco. Let
Giants.
Me introduce you to our tire fire.
Yeah.
Well, they went into the season thinking, okay, well, we've got 80 million starting pitchers, so we should be able to make it through any rough stretch we have for any of the guys.
Sure.
But I don't think anybody anticipated Heston, you know, kind of – I mean, I think we kind of anticipated he might level off at some point, but he really had a rough few starts. I don't think anybody expected he came over that the team would be 1-4 in his 5 starts, and he hasn't been able to really put together but 1 decent start. You know, nobody expected Vogelsong or Hudson or Peavy to last the season. It was like the Giants decided, we're going to throw a bunch of guys out there and just work with whatever's working at the time.
We'll figure it out if nobody's doing anything.
Yeah, and the we'll figure,
they
it
didn't
out,
figure it out
didn't get figured out, right.
Yeah, I was reading a couple of columns, and a lot of people were talking about how the Giants went quantity over quality this year. They said, well, we'll have enough to cover the holes and put the fingers in the dikes. And it just didn't happen.
Well, here's a weird question. This comes because a friend of mine, Christy Cagle on Twitter, she's a good Giants, follow Giants fans. She knows her stuff. She made a point. She's like, do you wonder if the Giants only went after Lester and Pablo and maybe Shields a little, knowing that the 2016, this next offseason crop of pitchers is just so much better? And that's not to say that a team is like going to throw away a season.
No.
But like that they tried to get along with what they had, knowing that they've got money coming off the books.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right. And that there's going to be more available.
Right.
I mean, I don't think
there's a ton of people out there this year.
Nobody ever goes into an odd year thinking that they're aiming for odd year bullshit. But at the same time, like you have to think long term too. Like, you, I mean, on the one hand, you know, you look at it and you say, okay, so funny how you took this Shaq. You put in about 3 nails per board and cobbled the whole thing together, and it looks like a strong wind will probably knock it over. And then a strong wind comes, and you wonder why there's no house anymore.
Right.
It wasn't quite that level of bad. Like, we're not talking like we had just said, okay, well, why don't we go ahead and we'll have Oliver Perez start for us for this year. And, you know, like, we had a bunch of pieces on the table that all had the potential to be good. But I agree. We didn't have anybody on the table that was really, like was good at the beginning of the year besides – we knew Mad Bum was, and beyond that, it was a lot of question marks, just tons and tons of question marks.
Yeah, we all knew this, right?
Right, and I mean, we had lots of surprises, and that's why early on in the year, we were like, no, we might run away with this thing a little bit, or at least we might make it close, because we're starting to pick up, and we're heating up a little bit, but it wasn't a team that you looked at and went, yeah, this looks sustainable, necessarily. Right. But you kept noticing that it hadn't been sustainable, but it hadn't quite tapered off. And then we'd be kind of in it for a bit. And then this month happened.
Well, you think about over the last month, specifically the last 2 weeks, all of the big at-bats with runners in scoring position where guys like Adrianza and Perez and others are up instead of, you know, the Pences
right.
and Panics. And,
well, and that's like our classic like, Giants problem in general, but it's compounded so much more when you're missing most of the team. Yeah. It's difficult to look at this and say like, oh, well, you know, we put our best product out there. And with that, it's odd your bullshit. Everyone that could possibly get hurt has pretty much gotten hurt, including the people that couldn't possibly get hurt, like Hunter Pence.
I think it's funny because, like, I'm not a superstitious person, and I believe in the on-year bullshit for some reason.
Right.
Believed in it. It was like, oh, yeah, of course it's true. Ha, ha. What a curse to win every other World Series. That's such a horrible curse. Ha, ha, ha. But, you know, when things like this happen, I do look at other people on the Twitterverse, specifically people like Wendy, you know, Hanging Sliders and others, who get so angry when people mention the odd year curse. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? There is no such thing. And then every time they say that, there goes somebody another giant down. Yeah, there goes right. another giant gets shot.
Literally, like, every time you bitch about odd year bullshit, an angel loses its wings or his knee. Like,
it's just incredible.
He's lost a lot of knees.
He's lost a lot of knees. Like, the dude's got to have seven. Actually, you know what it is? Greschner has, like, six knees in the back just in case. Mm-hmm. But we've run out of knees, and so Angel's got to take a break.
He's like, I'm all out.
We've actually used up our spare knees.
We got a shipment coming in 2016. You got to wait till then?
I get frustrated that odd year bullshit, on some knees. Too.
Sure, because, it seems like such, like, the first couple times, it seems like such random stuff. Especially like with Posey getting blown up, you know, nobody looked at that and said, why, yes, the first thing that I expect to happen this year is that our star catcher is going to get run the fuck over by some random Marlin who we still barely ever talk about, except in reference to that issue.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's at this point.
Damn your cousins.
Just womp. But we do look over, you know, it's like.
Swear word.
I totally did. If you have 5-year-olds listening to this podcast, you should probably cover their ears or teach them to say it now.
I don't think 5-year-olds have ever listened to this podcast.
I don't think so either. But, you know, our listeners love to surprise us.
That's true.
Thanks, guys. We love surprises. I will say, though, that you could say that 2013 was a little different. Just kind of like you started to get the feeling by like late 2012, early 2013 that we were kind of running Angel Pagan into the ground a little bit.
Yeah.
But I don't think anybody expected Angel to have the impact that he had. And then everybody else got hurt. This year, everybody got hurt early on. So we kind of knew everybody was going to get hurt. And then everybody got hurt again.
And then it happened
again.
That
was impressive. Well, right, it was impressive after everybody got hurt and only about half of them made it back. And then everybody got hurt. I was like, wait, we still have people?
It's the second round. It's the revolving door of it. I know. It's like we got the backups getting injured now. But, you know, you have the first win and the first odd year. No one says anything because there's no frequency. There's no pattern. Then you get the win in 2012, and you're like, hey, they won 2 out of 3. That's awesome. Still no real even year was mentioned because it's bookended.
Because it was like, oh, really weird that you guys like had an off year there. But, you know.
Yeah, 2 out of 3.
Great. And then 2013 happens.
And then 13 happens, and it was so bad. Then people are like, that's kind of funky. But
here we are joking about every even year, though. Boy, this sure is funny. I bet we're going to win it in this even year. Now, wait, what?
I know. And then that was the most incredible thing. It's not hard to predict not winning the World Series, okay?
No. As you have somewhere between a 1 in 30 and a 1 in where the Rockies chance of like
exactly,
not winning
right?
World Series. So.
So going into 2014 last year, it was kind of like everybody, even we joked about it on our podcast. Well, it's an even year after all. Ha, ha, ha. And then it happens. And I think the fact that it happened just leads more credence to, oh, God, it's an odd year. What's going to happen this year? And the whole year up until that Dodgers series, you know, it's like, oh, my God.
You're thinking maybe we'll actually – like maybe we'll be relevant. Maybe we'll make the postseason.
Maybe this odd year curse will die. Maybe this will be good. Maybe the Giants are really just a good team and – wah, wah, wah. It's like,
boy, the Giants have a really deep team. Wait, what if we take out even the third string guys with injuries?
So it's
let's
just
scrape the bottom of the double A. Let's call up Jackson Williams to the major league roster, guys.
Oh, boy.
Which nothing against
Jackson
Williams.
I can't believe we had to do that.
I've still heard decent things about Jackson Williams as a catcher in general, but not as a major league catcher.
Yeah, because Sanchez broke.
Yeah, he's not major league ready yet.
Didn't Sanchez break every major joint and ligament in his one leg
running to first base.
Just destroyed himself running to first base.
I can't run to first.
That's, you know, it's, I mean, didn't we have somebody like this? Didn't like Pablo break his like fourth Hammett bone, just like stepping out of base ones or something?
Yeah,
I mean,
whatever. I don't know.
But yeah, it's there are only two in your body, and he broke his fourth one, I'm sure. I have to say though, Jackson Williams, I've heard middling to decent things about his defense and his ability to call games.
How about his propensity for injury? Have you heard anything about that? What's the scouting report on his ligament structure?
Is he breakable?
How does one ligament
cares if he gets
a
hurt?
Guy?
It doesn't matter.
Sure hurt.
Now we're getting punchy.
Well, come on. I mean, we got to be punchy. This is the first time we've gotten together since everything's gone.
Yeah. And there's no torture.
You know, what
we're now. There's no torture.
Zero. It's death.
Yeah.
It's all death.
What's next?
It's the death warrant has been signed. You know that it's going to happen. When the season ends, you're dead.
Yeah, they're pretty much. Yeah, it's a terminal case. It's just a matter of exactly what day they're going to actually pass away. Unfortunately, the only thing that's going to save them, literally, because they're 9 games back now in the loss column with what, 23 to play or something like that, 24 to play.
Yeah.
It has to take one of those epic, you know, 10 game losing streaks by the Dodgers and a 9 out of 10 winning kind of streak by the Giants. Hypothetically, they got to go in, you know, if they even wanted a miraculous chance. I'm not saying even a remote chance is going to happen, but mathematically, they would have to say what be within. They can't be within 4 games of that 4-game series because they're not going to sweep the Dodgers in a 4-game series. Wouldn't you say they'd have to be 2 or 3 games back at the worst to have a shot at that series?
And so, absolutely, but.
So two
games. I mean,
games
given
back.
That we're like I mean, the number of games back that we are at now is much larger than 2 or 3. So it's a very difficult hypothetical situation to say. Well, you know, if we were and going into it,
Well, no, that's what I mean is that people are still like, well, look at the 4-game series. It's like, yeah, they can gain 4 games then, guys. Only with a sweep, if they win 3 out of 4, it's only 2-game swing
against the team that
kind
of didn't let us do that the last time.
Yeah. So even if they did sweep 4 games, if you give them that, that's still 4.5 games they have to make it between now and then. It's
right.
Not going to happen.
So well, it's not with all the Rockies we still have to play. That's going to go well.
Yeah, well. So speaking of injuries, Joe Panik is back.
Yay!
I would normally say thank God, but now it's like, whatever, who cares? But he's to be
used. Yeah, pretty much.
He's
shut
to be
up,
used
I just like him, okay?
I know, no, hey, I want to see him finish up the season. But they definitely said here.
Oh, I love Joe Panik. I tweeted every day he was gone. I miss Joe Panik. I miss Joe Panik. He can't do
probably,
anything for them anymore.
I hope that he wasn't Google searching himself because after a while, that probably would have gotten interesting.
No,
oh, yeah,
the
there's
guy.
This one. How many times? Oh, every
you know
day.
What? But I have
I'm
to say,
go.
Tomlinson has been more than an adequate backup. I mean, he's definitely surprised. Granted, small sample size, 26, 27, 28 games, something like that. But that's okay. That's all he's had to do to fill in. But that game that I was at Friday night against the Cardinals where they had to walk off, it was Tomlinson's bases loaded single. And that was a lot of fun because obviously the game was fun. But then when I went down into the presser, I asked Bochy about, you know, this Tomlinson kid is hitting the cover off the ball. I mean, do you see a future with him once the rosters expand or when Joe Panik comes back? And he basically said, yeah, we do see a future with him. It's just a matter of where do we put him, you know, kind of thing. And that's going to be the rub. And more recently, there's been more questions about him, and he's been talking about the outfield as a possibility. And I thought
that was
intriguing.
I think we've been hearing more about the potential of Tomlinson in center.
Mm-hmm.
Although I think that's going to depend. You know, if you look at I should really look up who's coming up on free agency. Where's my COTS page? But, you know, we aren't necessarily going to – like, we still have some – outfielders who are pretty solid, who are regular outfielders who are out there.
Well, Aoki is not going to hit his minimum plate appearances.
Right, so that's going to depend. But, I mean, it would make a lot of sense to bring Aoki back at the same time.
I think they should bring Aoki back. They have Pence under contract. Is Pagan?
They have Pence under contract,
They sell Pagan
guys.
For one more year, don't they?
One more year of Pagan.
Yeah,
one more Pagan.
But, of course, you know, all the outfielders break all at once, so.
Sure. Well, they always do. I mean, and frankly, like, you're paying too much to Pagan, and Pagan has too much pride to necessarily take a fourth outfielder role.
Yes.
But at the same time, you're going to need to rest Pagan frequently, and I think that the Giants have caught on to that early on already.
Mm-hmm.
But it's only going to get worse, so to speak.
But then it was also fun in the clubhouse when Tomlinson came out and everybody crowded around him, and then I was kind of way in the back. And yeah. I kind of got, and now, yeah, they're all blah, blah, blah. And then like half the reporters, it's that awkward pause and half of them leave. And then half of them are left. And there was like one question. And I had just found that GIF on Twitter as I was browsing in the back of the crowd. And I was like,
thanks, Carmen and or Gidget.
Yeah, it wasn't Carmen. It was someone else. But
or somebody else, fine.
I was like, hey, Kelby, have you seen your bat flip? And he goes, oh, God, what? And I was like, you want to? I'm like, you want to see it? And he's all, okay. So I passed my phone to him, and he's and all the reporters crowd back around, and he's watching it, and he's going, oh, God, oh, my, oh, man, oh, God, I didn't mean to do that. Oh, boy, that looks bad, or whatever it was. His face just gets so bright cherry red. He was smiling, and all the reporters like, no, man, it was a cool bat flip. It wasn't like in your face
like,
bat flip,
like
right?
Massive gloating bat flip. It was just excited bat flip, like you can tell. It was just like, yes, and then well, running, you know.
And then when we were coming out of the clubhouse.
I did notice.
I was going to say.
Well, I was going to say, I noticed.
We were coming out of the clubhouse.
You're going
and,
with it. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's okay. It's the Skype. We're coming out of the clubhouse, and Bags gave me a little fist pump. He's all, dude, that was, what did he say? That was clutch.
Yeah.
He's all showing him that.
And because, I mean, that was great. That's the kind of reaction that gets written into every gamer for the rest of the like.
Oh yeah, him and Pav.
They all wrote it.
It was great. They said a reporter showed, and I was like, yeah, Chad's a reporter. I'll take it. Yep. That was hilarious, that was though. Fun. Just like, oh God, oh I flipped it. Oh yeah. I totally flipped it.
Yeah. he's just a young kid, right? To see him kind of get embarrassed, but everybody's like just joshing him, going like, "Nah, man, it was cool. It wasn't like, you know, he stood there and watched it."
Totally. Yeah. It was great. That was awesome.
Yeah. What were we gonna say, Eric?
I already said it in the middle of the other thing.
Oh, okay. But yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, right? my Skype's not the best tonight, so if you guys are hearing that, that's why.
But we got Panic back now. We got Affelt. Apparently, he probably needs to stay off playing with his kids or trying to cook burgers the rest of the year.
I always see Affelt a little bit like Kevin Nash's quad. If anybody kind of like squints at him for a second, he just like falls over, gripping it and going, oh, no. Like, oh, no, I broke my Affelt.
I guess he's just a nice dad. What are you going to say?
Can you fault him for that? No.
You can't.
No.
But maybe hold off on like tossing your kids around until like right when the off season starts. Yeah, so
hug him and play video games with him or something.
Oh man, yeah, no. Okay, Affelt's gonna break his thumbs.
Oh, that's true, like, right? His grip strength will be gone or something.
It's something. He'll like pop a tendon blister in his arm and like won't be able to grip. I mean, it'll end up being one of those games.
It sucks that
like tap X really fast and he just kind of goes like, okay, I can tap this really fast. I can't feel my arm.
Yeah,
that's weird.
Well, it sucks that this is what we're going to always remember because he was such a key to so many positive memories.
I mean, for me,
but all we're going to think about is burgers and jumping into lakes. And,
but it's because he's such a like such a hilarious dude, though.
He's just
that's
a
really
funny
what it
guy.
Is. Just like
you
think of him as like not clubhouse glue, but at least like he's like the pepper in there. He just like makes the clubhouse interesting.
Yeah.
But you know, for me actually with Affelt, it's the year of double plays. That's actually the thing that I'll remember him for the most. Not necessarily the clutch pitching that led us into one of the last World Series, but just that one year. Oh God, I can't even remember which season it was now, but just he induced like 5 million double plays every time he would get up. It's just like, "All right, put Affelt in. There's a guy on first." Not anymore.
Yeah.
And it was really crazy to watch because there were so many of them.
And then we got Matt King coming off too, so we'll see what happens. I don't know whether they're going to use him right now. I assume they're going to start him. But
yippee!
I know. I mean, I want to. Now that the season's pretty much over, I do want to see him get at least two or three starts in if he's capable of doing so, just to have maybe any positive momentum going into the offseason. I don't think that's going to happen at all because he was on the shelf for, what, 2 or 3 weeks, and I don't think whatever was bugging him is going to be gone. But we'll see. I'm really pulling for the guy. It was a real shame to see what happened to him this year, being on the shelf for a whole year and then coming back and just blowing up.
You know that Matt Cain's got to be the kind of guy who kind of looks at it and goes, you know, they're paying me like damn near $21 million to just kind of like, to not feel like I'm doing the best that I can. Like, that's got to be eating him up inside.
That has to be.
Yeah, and that's rough. I mean, I'm sure it's killing, you know, like Hunter, it can't feel good about it either.
Yeah.
Even Tim Hudson, like there's so many guys on this team that kind of you can't possibly even imagine as like take the money and run guys that it's like
no,
it's watching the team kind of go through this and knowing that they can't be there to help because they're trying to get themselves better is just got to be rough. But that's, you have to look to next year at some point.
Well, so I know that Ben wanted to talk. What was that?
This might be that point.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, you kind of went a little quiet. I don't know if you.
Oh, I thought that was just me. Okay.
No, Ben's gotten very quiet. Sorry for the technical difficulties.
And then he apparently disappeared. Ben is now a mime. We are now doing a mime podcast. So we're going to watch what Ben does.
How about
now? Relay it to.
That's better.
That's better.
That's better? Okay, I don't know. I'm just changing pickup patterns on my mic has been doing that more often lately. I might have to get a new one. But, you know, I don't know where the money for that will come from. But I might have to get a new one. So.
No, well, certainly not this show. So you wanted to talk about this last Thursday. And obviously we couldn't swing it. But, you know, Timmy... We got to talk about him. We all know that he went under season-ending arthroscopic hip surgery. The good news is that his surgeon has a very positive prognosis for him. He does not think it's career-threatening. He, in fact, thinks that he will be back in the major leagues next year, pitching maybe not like his Cy Young self, but certainly better than the last year or two, because apparently... the instability in his hip joint due to the irritation and the torn labrum and cartilage damage was causing instability, which was preventing him from putting as much torque as he had generally been doing, because he has that small body and he uses that torque in his hips to generate the arm speed.
Right.
And he was putting a little bit more pressure on his arm, and his arm just cannot throw 95 miles an hour. We all know this. So he may not throw 97 ever again, but hopefully he'll regain some form. The sad thing is for Giants fans, it probably won't be in a Giants uniform. That's not for certain yet, but...
Well, in fairness, though, I mean, after the couple of years he's had, I mean, there is a very high chance that you get Tim Lincecum back at a relatively low rate. It's just that... It's hard to say, yes, we'll sign you and take up a spot on our 25-man for you.
Yes.
If you look at the system right now, like, Clayton Blackburn is just about major league ready, I think. He's looking very, very good at AAA and PCL.
2.85 ERA in the PCL.
ERA title for the PCL, which is not an easy place to...
No.
Pitching below a 3 in the PCL is pretty damn impressive. Like, not at all pitcher-friendly.
No, it's incredible.
Yeah, and I mean, so Blackburn is probably about ready. Heston is probably going to be in good enough shape to go again next year, and frankly, I think we'll probably do even better with some major league service time under his belt. And then you've got a little bit of, you know, you've got Kane, you've got Peavy's still around.
Peavy and Mad Bum
as well. Mad Bum's still around next year, and possibly Mike Leake. We can't rule that out either.
Well, yeah, and we have to talk about that later, but we want to talk about free agents.
As far as like who we know we've got, right, absolutely. And I mean, you look at the two and you say, do you want to throw more money at Tim Lincecum or do you want to throw money at Mike Leake? I'd probably rather throw money at Mike Leake right now.
Right.
But yeah, that's definitely it's a tough spot to be in right now. There's a lot of pitching that potentially is around. It's just that right now we don't have access to any of it.
Yeah, and we don't know what's going to happen. And everything's going to be in flux. But my daughter, she's going to be 10 here next month or later this month.
How's her curveball?
And her favorite player is Tim Lincecum. Yeah, I don't know. She just became enamored with him, you know, when she was four years old.
He's undersized and he's strong and does a great job. And yeah, I get it.
It was him and Panda. She also loved the Panda and had the Panda hats and the whole thing. When Panda left last year... She actually shed a tear. I mean, she's a little kid, and she doesn't understand the business of baseball. And this year, I told her about, because she's like, I haven't seen Lincecum pitching. What's going on with him? And I was explaining to her, well, he's hurt, he's this and that and that. And then I had to tell her the other day that, well, his season's over, and he may or may not be with the Giants next year. And she got really upset again. She said, well, I don't understand. He's pitched with the Giants since, like, I've been alive. Like, no.
And I'm almost
she's
true.
Not the, almost she's true. Not the only one that shed.
She's not born in 2005, but she doesn't remember.
No, I mean it's with there's so much attachment to Tim Lincecum though. Like if he does end up leaving after the season, you know, unless he manages to do something really acrimonious in the next like 3 weeks, he's gonna end up leaving on good terms. And that's part of the reason. You just hope that at some point, even if he ends up succeeding somewhere else for a few years, that he'll kind of come back and work with the org. Or, I mean, if we do get him back at a, you know, really low price and that we're able to kind of shift the roster around, that it doesn't end up impacting us too much, like, no one will complain at getting Tim Lincecum back unless we feel like we're overpaying. But yeah, nobody's going to say, no, we don't need him at all. It's going to be like, look, it'd be nice to have him back if we're not overpaying for what we think he's capable of now and he doesn't logjam anybody. But otherwise, there's a necessity to it, I think, now that people are willing to bargain with that they weren't when he was in better shape or, like, seemed a little bit close. Like, the period where he always seemed right around the corner from figuring it all back out again.
Yeah, he seemed like he was getting close.
Well, you know, the thing is I'm having a hard time looking ahead at that stuff because I'm still kind of mourning it. I'm not going to lie to you guys. When the news came down about Timmy right after they got swept by the Dodgers,
they headed in. It's like, oh, great. What else can you throw at me? Awesome. Yeah.
Right. They headed in. It was they then got demolished like 9-2 by the Rockies the next night. So much so that I was so depressed. I didn't even watch the game Friday. I didn't care what happened. The Giants had absolutely, like, broken my heart. And the Timmy news broke my heart because, like, you know, you guys are, like, all cool and been to the press box a million times now. But I've been only, you know, twice because of travel and all that stuff.
I haven't even been in the press box this whole year.
Well, I'm just saying I've been there twice. And both times I've been in a press box, Tim Lincecum was the starting pitcher. Mm-hmm. Down here in Tampa and in San Francisco.
Right, both times, huh? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, and he's the guy that, like, you know, I'll be honest, I was, like, crying because I remember how excited my father used to get about Tim Lincecum saying, this is the guy that's going to turn him around.
Yeah.
You know, he's the guy. And he did. He did absolutely so much for this team. If it wasn't for those, you know, years where he was basically carrying them and saying, look, you know, good pitching. He showed good pitching is going to win in that ballpark. And it's just I don't know. He's like the kid brother that we all watch grow up.
Definitely.
You know, Buster hugs are the thing, but who wouldn't want a good Timmy hug? You know what I mean? And it's things like that. I had a hard time with this one. I would love to see him back again, you know, and all that stuff. But it's really hard to see it end like this as far as injury and things like that. And I had a real tough time. It was like one of those get drunk and mourn a loss type, you know, tough times. I really
just
did. Cut, so I
totally feel straight to the quick. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel I'm right along there with Chad's daughter. It's like, it's a bit of a gut punch because, well, you know, yeah, we all love Hunter Pence and we all love Joe Panic and we all love Buster Posey. How did I name Posey third? But Timmy was always that guy. You know, and I've written multiple times. 2 years ago when I thought he was leaving, I wrote something, and I'm sure I will by the end of this season.
I mean, there was a period where Timmy was the only bright spot on a team that just was just awful.
He brought us out of the Bonds era. He brought us out of just being a bunch of, yay, home run, boo, you're a chicken, yay, home run, boo, you're a chicken. You know, they showed the Giants fans, you know, that there was so much more to the game.
There's life after Bonds. Yeah.
Is it only him and Matt Cain were the only two active players that were on the team with Bonds?
Yeah, absolutely.
Pretty sure, yeah. Because Romo didn't get called up until afterwards, I think,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah, because Timmy came up in 2007, Bonds is last year, and of course Cain was up since, what, 2005?
Yeah, yes. Cain is the most tenured Giant on the team, even though he's younger than Timmy by a year or two.
Yeah, something like that.
Because he got drafted out of high school.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's just one of those things where if you are going to say goodbye to a player, you'd like to see him kind of ride off into the sunset, at least play the last part of the year. But it was kind of like he got hit by a line drive and he goes on the DL and everyone's like, well, he'll come back and he'll come back. No. And it's just so it's I don't think anyone realized at that moment when he was walking off the mound that might be his last time that we see him in a Giants uniform. Hopefully that doesn't happen. But like I'm totally with you, Ben. You know, I don't want him log jamming a spot for maybe a more preeminent free agent pitcher. I don't want him, and the Giants aren't going to do this because they've already given him his quote bonus, right?
Right. You know,
and it was.
And I mean, I think that the Giants want to be able to like be sure he has somewhere to rehab and stuff like that. So I wouldn't be surprised if they work something out in the offseason, but I don't know exactly what. Even if it's just like a minor league association to be able to allow him to rehab at their facilities,
kind of like they do. Yeah, take care of him like that or something like that. But
yeah, like Scudero's permanently on the 60-day DL so that they can at least make sure he's going to have some quality of life when he finishes with baseball.
Yeah, yeah, and it's little touches like that that the Giants are very good at doing. But they've already paid him his bonus for kind of thank you for all of the previous years. We overpaid for you for these 2 years. So they don't need to give him one of those contracts again. So I agree. I think only if he's, you know, amenable to signing a realistic contract. It's like, look, these are your numbers the last few years.
There was a time where we were like, you have to get Timmy back. It doesn't matter that he hasn't been that good. You have to get Timmy back. And then we overpaid and kind of went, it wasn't like an immediate, like some people immediately had a, oh, hell no reaction. But a lot of people were kind of like, that's Timmy. And it was, you know, he had a good couple of, okay, all right. I think that this time, though, it's kind of like you have to factor both the sentimentality and fan opinion and the business into it, because there is, you know, we're in such an awkwardly cliff sitting position with our pitching right now, where one thing goes wrong and suddenly we don't have a rotation, that you can't really afford to have Tim Lincecum be a high-paid critical piece of a we're sitting on a cliff potential rotation thing. No. You've got to have him, you know, in a, like either he's got to be there and you've got to know that he's going to be good, or you've got to kind of pay less and expect that he, you could be moving him around, or you're not sure what you'll do with him. Or, and it's not even like in the back of my head I can see where in the business this could work out. Like, I don't even want to sit and conjecture about it. I just kind of want, I just kind of want to hope that something happens, because I've enjoyed rooting for Tim Lincecum for so long that I want to root for him as a person without feeling like I have to do it despite him being on a different team.
Yeah.
And I'm not bothering to stop and go, but how you realistically make that happen? I don't care. Like, if we can find a way, I'd really like that. I just don't want to be spending next year going, God, if we hadn't signed Timmy, then we'd be able to put Chris Heston and Clayton Blackburn on the roster at the same time. I wish, you know, if we don't, if we aren't going through that, I'll feel good about it. And if we are, I'll feel bad. And that's a, it's a different position to be in than previously when we've dealt with Timmy, but that's where I'm at right now. It's hard. I don't, you get emotionally tied up in the players on this team in a way, even though you kind of have to always take that step back and look at it. But yeah, I mean, I, as much as anybody else, I don't want to think that that was the last time that you're going to see Tim in a Giants uniform is right before he drops onto the DL.
It's one of those things.
Sucks.
This sucks. I hate this. You know, I really do. I'm almost tearing up again.
Odd year bullshit.
Odd year bullshit.
Timmy was the
guy. Not even a curse. It's just bullshit. Literal bullshit. They're actually, like, somebody snuck a bull onto the field and the grounds crew is just sort of like showing up to work going, oh no, now what?
Well, one kind of fun thing that happened as a result of Lincecum being put on the 60-day DL to clear a room on the 40-man roster is that Bruce Bochy's own son, Brett Bochy, has been called up. So,
yay, Bochy the Younger.
Yeah, Bochy the Younger. So I'm sure he'll get into some action here at some point soon.
Oh, for sure. It's got to keep that fresh. I really
did
like
he,
watching
did he...
Brett Bochy play. He's not necessarily outstanding, but he's been decent enough that I never feel bad when he gets called up.
Right.
Did he get a win or a save last year? I don't think he did.
I feel like he got like a hold, some holds last year. I don't know if he got a win or a save.
I think that should be the goal towards the end of the year. Not necessarily the win, but maybe get him a save or something like that.
Just get the man some stats.
Yeah, I mean, who cares? The season's over. I can't believe I'm saying that on September 8th. Oh, yeah.
Oh man.
We're an uplifting bunch right now. Like, I'm August. So sorry.
Hey guys,
what? Last year we had 3 1/3 innings
on a very special torture cast. actually, right. He had no wins, no saves.
No saves. Just 3 1/3 innings.
So nothing games, on the ledger.
3 1/3 innings.
Yep. Two earned runs.
Allowed one home hit. Run.
That was a home run. Okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
How about that?
Where's his game log? I want to know.
But that's cool for Bruce. I remember last year when Bruce, for the first time, got to call Brett and put him in a game. He's the first manager who has ever gotten to do that. Like, there's other managers that have managed their kids in the past, but like Moises was an outfielder, you know, when Philippe was the manager.
It's the first time where the manager's got to actually like tap on his arm and say, "Give me my kid."
Yeah,
right.
Kind of cool,
and that's cool, and you know, it's another. One of those things when you think about the Giants that keeps
Brett only pitched in blowouts too. The only time Brett ever pitched last year was all more than 4-run leads or deficits.
Yeah, that makes.
Yeah, sense. He came into like one of those games where they're up like they demolish the Dodgers or something like that.
This is a nepotism.
That's
it.
I didn't sign.
It keeps everybody.
I didn't call him up.
Keeps everybody happy though.
So yeah, you know? That's kind of cool. So we'll see what happens with the Bochis now that they're. I mean, they can't play to not win right now. Obviously, they're still going to play to win, but we'll see what happens. So one other thing I thought was interesting was the Giants, of course, have they had the number one batting average in the National League all the way up until the last week or so. Colorado finally overtook them, and they're up by 1 point. But again, they're artificially inflated anyway. So the Giants have been one of the best hitting teams in terms of batting average out there. You'd think maybe they'd be a little bit better. You look up their pitching, and I think they're seventh in pitching right now. Which is, you know, it's just
respectable
above
considering
the road.
Their staff is decimated.
Yeah, exactly. It's respectable considering the year they've had. But what I did is I just looked at one metric, and I know it's not the metric of all metrics, especially the sabermetricians out there would be screaming at me going, oh, you're forgetting about batting average and balls in play and F-war and all this other crap. But if you look at ERA.
If you think that all of them sound like that, we're going to have to sit down and have a little intervention with you about sabermetricians. But all right, go for it.
So I thought it was interesting if you rank ERA in order, St. Louis, Pittsburgh, Mets, Dodgers, Cubs. So the top five teams in ERA are the top five playoff contenders right now. I mean, just exactly. And then the next two, 6 and 7, Nationals and Giants, the two ones sitting out of the wild card and their respective divisions. So ERA has literally molded the playoff positioning right now. So
I mean, that's kind of crazy.
It is. I looked at it. I was shocked by it. I mean, it was just like, oh my God. Okay. Top five ERA are all five playoff teams right now. And the next two sitting out are Washington and San Francisco. The next two teams sitting out. And so the top seven are the top seven teams. It's the most bizarre thing. So pitching definitely molded this year. And so it's something that the Giants need to look at for next year, for sure, especially with the whole quantity over quality thing. But it is what it is. Giants struggled this year. Cardinals did not, even without a Carpenter.
Right? You know, that keeps happening to all of us. We'll be making a point, and then we'll come to the sudden realization that this season is pretty much done. And our voice will change a little bit, and we'll be like, yeah, but, you know.
All right. Yeah, it's okay. We're at least one podcast away from having to hit our Why We Will Win It All next year segment.
We still got this.
But you know, the thing about that is, as much as we're making Bochy noises, something positive has been happening lately. Buster Posey hit his 100th home run the other day. It was like, finally. Yay! Woo-hoo. For 2 minutes. That's, yeah, finally, exactly. He went on another one of those. Yeah, it is something, but it's like he's on fire right now. He's the only Giant that's like tearing the cover off the ball.
No, he's hitting well for average. He just had such a power outage in the second half. And I don't know if that's tired legs or just a bad streak or whatever.
It's so unusual for him, too. He used to always pick up in the second half, but mm-hmm. we've really put him through the ringer lately. Yeah. And it's tough because his backups keep getting hurt. So it's like, all right, so we're going to go ahead and have How about
Susek? Nope. Sanchez?
Okay, so you're going to take first base, and we're going to have Jackson Williams behind the plate today.
Yeah, really. It's like, what?
I feel bad. I'm treating Jackson Williams as a punchline, and he's going to be a better catcher than I ever will. But it's awkward.
Yeah, he's I should point out that. Probably sitting there thinking, like, I'm never going to sniff the major leagues for like 5 years. Oh, he got hurt. I'm getting called up.
Here we go. Hey, it's, you know, Jared Hayne made the 49ers 53-man roster.
That's true.
Yeah. Kendall Hunter also is once again, somebody snuck into the locker room and cut off Kendall Hunter's leg for like the third time running. I should point out, so as far as ERA plus, so ballpark adjusted ERA, we actually, the Giants actually are towing exactly the league average of 101. Leading the league with a like stupid, ridiculous 144, Cardinals. Obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the only other above 120s, which are pretty damn standout, Houston and Pittsburgh. And we are towing the league average with our lackluster performances of late. We've worked our way down the ERA plus list.
Yep.
But, you know, still above average by a point.
So within
well, you can't win when you're average.
Actually less than a
That's
point.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
All right, well, speaking of winning, since
makes me happy.
We don't need to talk about the Arizona series or the Colorado series because they're mostly irrelevant at this point. Bumgarner, he just got his 17th win yesterday in Colorado. And so I was looking at the schedule, and I was talking with my father-in-law, and he said, hey, do you think he can hit 20 wins? And I was like, wow, I never really thought about that. So I kind of looked in the schedule, and if he pitches every fifth day, he's going to start four times. Now, that last start would be the day after the last game of the season, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. So with a built-in or two off days in the schedule, there's always a possibility that – I'm not saying Bochy would do this because why if they're out of the race, right? I wouldn't pitch sure. a bum. But
why would you skip somebody, right?
Yeah, but if they were to skip somebody, he could get five starts. But right now I'm just saying, okay, look, it looks like he has four starts. Sure. So he has to win three of those four. You know, they're against – I think one's against the Dodgers, of course, but the others are against the Padres, the Reds, and the Rockies, I believe. So
teams that he's made look silly before even this year.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, it's not a consolation prize, but it'd be kind of cool if, you know, a Giant won 20 games for the first time in God knows how long. What would it be, like 1993?
22 years. Yeah, 22 years. Yeah. Burkett and Swift in 93.
Burkett and Swift, which is their best team ever, by the way.
Which, 93, right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, a pair of 20-game winners. Yeah, right. Yeah, that just shows you how the rest of the rotation is doing, if anything.
Yeah.
But, yes.
I guess
it's Salamon Torres. Go ahead and pitch. Sorry.
As of yesterday, Matt Duffy's still hitting 303.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Matt Duffy. Voters for NL Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Not that Chris Bryant.
Chris Bryant's gonna get it.
He's the Sports Center kid.
I like to imagine that Matt Duffy will get like the second number of votes, and we'll just kind of all crow about the fact that he beat out Jock Peterson for the rest of the like his career.
Go. Yeah,
I'm good with that. I'm totally good.
It's like, will I be better with him kind of like winning out? Yes. But hey, he's fourth on the team in WAR, for crying out loud. Yeah, like,
pretty crit.
That's pretty great. I'm rather enjoying this.
Behind who? Posey, Bumgarner, and Crawford?
Yes, actually, exactly that. Almost in that order. Posey, Crawford, Bumgarner, Duffy. And then Brandon Belt and Joe Panic, interestingly enough. Right behind him.
Yeah, we got Chris Bryant, you know, hitting 267, but 23 bombs, 86 RBI. I mean, how can you argue with that?
Yeah, and he's hitting them in clutch situations, too. Yeah. He's got a couple walk-offs this year. He hit a grand slam one day. And I've watched a lot of Chris Bryant, so I'm totally okay with him beating Duffy for Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
But if Duffy can beat out Jock, that's why I'm totally good with that.
If Duffy beats out everybody but Chris Bryant, I'm frankly even good with that.
Yeah, because nobody was talking about wins?
Yes.
Yeah,
but
nobody knew who the hell Matt Duffy was.
Let's put this out there. This is for me the Brandon Crawford will hit 220 of Rookie of the Year prediction. So like, oh, I'm good with this.
Yes,
and then you turn around and boom. Suddenly Brandon Crawford is hitting 259. You're like, better with that. More better with that. Thanks, guys.
All right, so we're gonna get close to wrapping it up here, but I just wanted to ask you guys. We got some free agents coming on the line, and you were mentioning this earlier, Ben, but. Here's a list of someone's top 10 free agents, just for reference right now, coming into this year. So we got David Price, Jason Hayward, Justin Upton, Johnny Cueto, Zach Greinke, Yoenis Cespedes, Alex Gordon, Jordan Zimmermann, Chris Davis, Mike Leake, and there's a few others like Smarja, and Ian Desmond.
Sorry, that's Stepchinski. Never mind.
And then you got, you know, Wieters and Zobrist and Gallardo and Parra and Span. But point being is that I do think...
It's okay. Mycerus Turris is going to be a free agent next year, guys. The solution is right there staring us in the face.
Perfect. Sounds like a Giant.
Mycerus Turris sounds like the Orlando Cabrera school of let's just grab somebody to fill this spot.
Exactly. Yep. Just play the ball.
Literally.
You know what? Look, they've already obligated a ton of money to Posey and Matt Cain right now. Obviously, Lincecum's going to be off the books. Zito's off the books now.
Yeah, there is the money to make a push for a big free agent this time around.
I think this is the year they got to do it. I think
$30,000 falling off the books next year or something. I mean, $30 million falling off the books next year. I mean, $30,000, man. We've got all we need.
I would love, obviously, a David Price or someone like that, or a good outfielder like, or even another starting pitcher like Zimmermann or a good outfielder
Zimmermann
like
for sure.
Has been amazing. But
I would actually I would Zimmermann and Price are about the same level of.
I want Greinke.
For me,
yes,
would not be upset about Greinke. Can we steal one from the Dodgers for once, damn it, and not have them all go the other damn way?
I know, I want to do it.
Hisashi Iwakuma is on the market too. I actually like Iwakuma a lot. He's like the tier below Zimmerman. And yes, okay, I like the Mariners anyway, so maybe I'm a little biased here, but he's pretty damn talented, and he's like the step below the Zimmerman price tier for me. Mm-hmm. Like, if they're like my like top tier would grab, throw all of the money, Iwakuma is my like next down, would overpay a little bit and be very happy about it guy. Greinke goes top tier for me too. Like, I, starting pitching for me feels like the biggest gap. Outfield is one of those borderline, like, we could use one more outfielder or somebody that releases us from the need to hang on to Nori Aoki. Mm-hmm. And there are not a ton out there that really line up with what I'd be looking for. Like, Bautista is not bad, but I mean, I don't know. Hayward, yeah, okay. I'm not against bringing in Hayward, but like, I look at the list of guys who are going to be available next year, and I don't see a ton that immediately make me go better than what we have now. Austin Jackson, maybe? Austin Jackson in center, or Gerardo Parra in center. I wouldn't really complain about that too much. But Gerardo Parra is sort of like a, you know, take Gregor Blanco and tweak a couple things and you've got Gerardo Parra.
Yeah, I don't.
Some better, some worse.
Oh, yeah. Man. Latos is free too, by the way.
Woohoo!
Solid.
Solid.
So we're taking Zach Greinke then. Got it.
There you go. Yeah, we don't want to steal that Dodger.
Yes, Cody Ross is on the market.
Has been for a while.
I don't know. It's, for me, it's between starting pitching and outfield. Outfield, I would lean probably Bautista, Cespedes, maybe, Jason Hayward or Austin Jackson. That's the four I'd go with. And for starting pitching, just like you said, maybe Trevor Cahill, but not really current Trevor. So I could magically find older Trevor Cahill. Doug Fister falls in the Iwakuma like tier for me, and Scott Kazmir falls in the Iwakuma tier for me.
It's going to be an interesting offseason.
Like I just want to go for the big guys. I just want the big guys. I said this. We did a podcast last year when it was like John Lester time and stuff like that. I said it back then. Give these guys all the money. I'll say it now. Give these guys all the money. I want Cespedes. I want Greinke. I'd love to see Price decide that he has
Cespedes and Greinke. Cespedes and Price. Like, just why not? Why not?
I mean,
we seem committed to going over the luxury tax as it is, right?
Yeah.
They've got money. Who cares? You know,
they tried it, Lester, this past year. They were very close. It just didn't work out. So they wanted to be closer to home.
Yeah. One of the last ones in the running, supposedly. So, I mean, this is a likable team, and it's one that has a good culture around it. Like, guys want to be here.
Yeah.
Which is a really nice thing to be able to say now, by the way.
Yeah. Years ago.
Give all the money.
Well, especially the pitchers, too. Just because they know it's a pitching ballpark, too. So.
Yeah, that's, I mean,
one year of Angel Pagan.
Yeah.
How could you not want to pitch at AT&T if you were a top-tier pitcher all the time?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that park is going to make you look good, and that infield defense is going to make you look good. If you're a pitcher and somebody says, would you like to pitch in front of two of the three of Joe Panik, Brandon Crawford, and Kelby Tomlinson? Like, oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, in a pitching ballpark, too, we haven't not sold out in, five straight years or something? Four straight years?
Something like that, yeah.
So,
some ridiculous.
All right, so we're going to get into our new favorite guy, and I'm going to go ahead and lead it off. And I don't need to pontificate any more about it, but it's just kind of an honorary choice. But Tim Lincecum, thank you for all the years of service. Been one incredible Giant. If it wasn't for him, I truly don't believe the Giants would have won in 10 or 12, and certainly wouldn't have carried that momentum to what they built in 2014. I do believe he was kind of not only the catalyst, but almost like a butterfly effect with a few others to make this incredible run of 3-5.
If Lincecum doesn't help us win in 10 and 12, maybe we don't have the culture that brings some people that we need in the last minute for 14.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, I'm with it.
So it's just a big thank you, new favorite guy, just in light of the most recent events with his career. So good luck to him.
Yeah.
I'm with it.
All right, Eric.
Oh. My new favorite guy is Nick Noonan, who's really an old favorite guy.
Noonan.
But exactly. And any good Giants fan remembers Noonan. But I was really impressed when the B team took the field on Saturday against the Rockies. And Nick Noonan played first base for the first time since he was a little kid. And he handled it well. He stayed out there for 9 innings. They didn't even have to replace him or anything like that. So I was really impressed that he decided to take one for the team, and he was willing to do that. You know, so Nick Noonan is my new favorite guy for learning how to play first base in the span of an afternoon and not making an error that night.
Yeah.
No, it's not at all.
His,
totally.
The interview we did with Noonan at Media Day a couple of years ago is still probably one of my favorites besides Michael Morse, to be honest. Like, just really, really, like, just very appreciative of what he'd been given and still, like, ready to come in and work every day and just, and also just, neat dude, good sense of humor. I'm good with that pick. I dig Noonan.
I like Noonan.
But I have to come up with another one. Can't just have two favorite guys with three of us on the pod today. So I am going to go ahead and give my old favorite guy a new favorite guy. And that's Ryan Vogelsong. Congratulations on your first career home run.
Yeah.
I got that notification while I was working. I'm just standing there staring at my phone. And I run over to one of my coworkers and I'm like, did you see this? And we look at it for a minute and we're all, no, but really, did you see this? Because I just saw it and I'm not sure I believe that it actually happened. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah. No, that was really cool.
It came at Coors Field, right?
It was. It was at Coors Field. But it was kind of an opposite field home run, too.
It was. It was a right center field home run.
Yeah.
Kind of where Buster's 100th went. It's kind of in that area.
Yeah.
You know what that means is he gets to lord that over Jeremy Affeldt for the rest of his career.
Yes, he does.
Specifically over Jeremy Affeldt, because that's the appropriate thing to do in this situation.
It's just what you do.
Congratulations on your first home run, Vogie. Enjoy the bullpen. Poor guy.
Wow.
Yeah, but how
poor
many guys
guy. I mean it.
How many guys in that bullpen have a career home run?
Yeah, that's true. Good point. Not too many.
Maybe Huddy? I don't know.
Yeah, that's the only other one I can think of.
But he's actually starting now. He's
good. Yeah, he's starting tomorrow.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, he's kind of taking Vogie's spot. So they're swapping coaches.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. I thought that was cool for Vogie. It's a shame he couldn't appreciate it because, you know, he got shelled. But it was really kind of really cool that he finally got one. And the reporter said after the game, he was like, no, I don't care that I homered. So I hope in the offseason he appreciates it a lot more.
Oh, yeah. No, of course he's going to say that now. He's grumpy Vogie before and after the
game.
So.
Yeah, and you wouldn't know anything about that, Chad.
No, yeah, I kind of got my head chewed off that one time. I completely forgot he was starting the next day.
You gotta watch the rotation.
That was a rookie mistake. Rookie mistake. I was just
don't worry. You'll never do that again. Never well, you won't.
Good
have
job, it. Rook.
Yeah, I was like, oh, sorry about that. All right, so Ben, why don't you lead off on why we should hate this guy?
I can't even pick out an individual guy to hate because
neither
of just,
did I.
I'm just I don't think it, I bet I'm gonna go with the parody of the, every single person on the Rockies, but because of can I hate on Coors Field? I'm just gonna hate Coors Field.
It's not baseball. Like,
not the staff there. Like, I know somebody on their grounds crew, really awesome dude. Nobody who works for that team or the front office or the staff or anything. Just like the park. I just hate Coors Field. That's it.
I'm fine with that. That's good.
That is good. F Coors Field.
So Eric, not an individual either. That you're
I'm going to choose to hate, and it's ironic because it's a team I'm going to pull for down the stretch.
This is really funny, right. Of all people.
Yeah, well, I like irony. I can't help it in my life. I'm going to hate on the Chicago Cubs because they broke our players. And they were two key contributors that got broken at just the wrong times. Corey Black hit Hunter Pence in the arm to start off the spring training slate, and he has had the year of the DL. And Nori Aoki got hit in the head by Jake Arrieta, and apparently now he's got to go. He's in Pittsburgh, I guess, right now.
Yeah.
To go get more concussion tests. So the Cubs in there decided to run through the National League, decided to step and kill the Giants. So I hate the Cubs right now.
I'm not against it.
Single-handedly taken out a couple of our players.
That's Corey Black takes out Hunter Pence, and suddenly Gregor White, Blanco, has the job. This seems like a conspiracy.
Yeah, it does seem like that.
I think it was a joke somebody else, I think, brought up on Twitter at the time, so I really can't even take any credit.
Yeah.
It was fine because I told it really badly. Moving on. Hey, Chad, who do you hate?
So I'm going to continue the string of not hating on a single individual. So I'm just going to hate all of the Dodgers.
Low-hanging fruit.
All of the Dodgers belong to suck. I know.
Oh, wow. A Giants fan hates the Dodgers, guys. This is groundbreaking podcast stuff.
Man, this is really original stuff. It's just that we always hate them, but it's just the salt in the wound of the one-run losses.
I just hate them more right now.
The gloating of the, the Giants, this and that. It's standard fodder. I get it. But I haven't ever used the Dodgers in this segment in 4 years. So now I'm using them.
But you couldn't before because Uribe was on the team. So now that they don't have Uribe, you can use them.
Like, who don't I hit on that team? Huh.
So,
which actually, I don't know. Jack Peterson's okay, I guess. But
I've hated individuals on the Dodgers. You know, I've done the Don Mattingly thing and others. But now this is the first
time. No, Don Mattingly's great. Don Mattingly wins us games.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, he's going to make the playoffs. He might get to keep his job. Sure.
I'm glad he's the manager. We talked about this earlier. I'm glad he's the manager of the Dodgers. Otherwise, they might have 90 wins by now.
Yep.
With anyone else? God.
They might be the 1993 Giants in blue.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Sorry. I'm good.
I know. Okay, so last segment. Why we'll win it all. I'll lead it off. Only because it's mathematically possible.
Because we can, we will.
Because it's, mathematically possible.
Literally because we could.
Because it's possible. Arizona could say the same thing.
So yeah.
San Diego.
We have real confidence in these picks this week.
Well, because our magic number is not E.
As long as we're still mathematically alive, we still have this segment. So, all right. Ben.
I'll go.
Go ahead. I'll go. I'm going to go ahead and say it's going to be the Brett Bochy and Joe Panic show. Brett Bochy is going to magically appear as a just shut down two-inning reliever. And it's going to do that thing where we call somebody up and suddenly they turn into Kelby Tomlinson every time. And Joe Panic is going to come back from the DL and turn into Joe Panic plus Kelby Tomlinson, start wearing glasses, and suddenly be able to just hit 310 for the rest of the year.
Sounds like a fun sitcom, actually.
That's the Brett Bochy and Joe Panic show. Boch and Joe.
Now, is it a variety show? Is it a buddy cop film?
The theme song is actually just Bochy noises attempting to read the entire blurb for the show, but reading it like you can't figure out who anybody is because Bochy's just coming up with nicknames for everybody.
Bochy and Panic has been filmed in front of this live studio audience.
I'm really excited about us. We're going to go ahead and look at this is going to be a great show.
Oh, man.
You know, Tim Flannery could be the wacky neighbor.
Could be.
Since he's no longer with the team.
The studio, and so by default, they're just putting him in.
He comes in and the audience goes, hey, and applauds or something.
Just walks in and you're just like, hey, just arms pinwheeling like he's waving somebody home.
He's my butt's on the line.
Let's go, guys. And he's waving his arm. That'd be perfect.
But he totally would be that Kramer guy who walks on and everybody goes, yay!
No, it's that or it's Hunter Pence.
I mean, and he's got a cloud of smoke hanging around him. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it's Hunter Pence just walks
not
in.
Not really.
And just is like, just stands at the door and everybody just starts laughing. It's great.
Oh, man.
It's great.
Awesome.
Also, for some reason, we're executive produced by Alexis Kambalizidis. I don't know why that happened. It's weird.
Oh, that's shocking.
All right. It's a good laugh. Eric, give us something to go out on. Give us a good note. Eric.
We'll see, because I can't wish a plane crash because that's just mean and I'm not that guy. So maybe all the reason the Giants will win it all is because all the Dodgers will get injured and they'll have to call up everybody who's already gone home for the offseason. So
we're there already, right, with that team?
With the Dodgers?
like a third of the way? Like,
yeah, pretty much, which is why I don't get what they're doing. But,
careful. Dodgers fans will tell you it's clubhouse chemistry.
Yeah, right. But, when the Giants say it's clubhouse chemistry, everybody's like, whatever.
Even your bullshit.
Right. No, or maybe just a slight injury to Kershaw and Greinke, and then the Giants will win it all.
You know what the difference between even your bullshit and not your bullshit is? One of them works really well with the Let's Go Giants chant. Odd year bullshit.
There you go. Nice.
Feel free to start cheering that the day after we get mathematically eliminated. I will pretend to not claim credit for that ever.
Oh, that's awesome.
We're a family.
It is.
You know, yeah. It's just like you said. It's a eulogy. We're joking.
It is.
We're just trying to.
Yeah, we are.
We're just trying to keep it alive. Keep it alive.
It's like we're going through. It's like we're going through the stages of grief. You know, yeah, I feel like I've bargained. I've accepted. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for coming on this emotional journey with us, listeners.
Yeah, no, they can't.
Thanks for staying with us, everyone. So, if we haven't actually walked off a ledge before next Monday,
well. We will try to not do this next week.
No, we just needed it because this was the shock value. It was just we needed a pod. We needed one podcast to kind of cope with this.
Yeah,
it's been a very sudden, dramatic turn of events in the Giants season. So
I'll cry into my microphone so I have a reason to get a new one. It'll be fine.
We will get past episode 96 and episode 97. We will look towards the future and look at all the little positives that are going to come out at the end of the year, and you know. We'll get through this all together, and you know, with this curse of winning every other year, it'll be fine next year when they win it all. So it's going to be fine. It's going to be.
Damn it!
But
how can they? It's just so ridiculous to me.
And
oh
the numbers
God, oh
drop
no.
precipitously.
They won 1 year and then
downloads.
They didn't win the next year.
I know.
Oh no! I mean, in our lifetime, we never thought we'd see any of these. So it's
only
just
win
so
every
funny.
Other lottery I play. God oh, damn yeah. it!
I have Cub fans
like,
friends.
Feeling
like
you're one of those spoiled fans, and you're just like, but I don't want to be one of those spoiled fans. But like, I mean, just look at all this bounty of riches.
I know. Yeah. You can't help it. Can't help it.
No, you can't.
Cubs fans. But who knows? Let's see what happens with them this year. Although, you know, one game playoff, it's Pirates.
They're all looking at me. They're like, you know, enough of this. I'm tired of your whining. Whatever. Yeah, go cry in your rings. And I'm like, well, I mean, everybody goes into a season fresh.
Yeah.
Go cry in your Chris Bryant jersey.
Yeah.
Go back at him.
Called up later.
Oh, wow. Winning record.
Yeah, right.
Well, this has been episode 96 of the Torture Cast, a very fun-filled, non-depressing one, actually. I want to thank Ben and Eric for joining us tonight. Hopefully we'll be back for episode 97 if we're all still sane and sober by next Monday. And by the way, I was sober this episode, so that's a good thing.
I was going to say sane is at least – we're aiming for sane.
Yeah, we're good. We're shooting for sane.
Or sober. Like, we're going to pick one.
And alive. Yeah, well, one of the two ain't bad. That's true. You could be drunk and sane. It's better, actually, than being sober and insane. So let's go for that one, if anything. But, yeah, this has been episode 96. We're approaching 100, like I was saying to Eric earlier in the episode. We may actually hit 100 if we go every week. It'll be episode 100 right after the last games of the year. It'll be our first off-season podcast right after the season is over. You can follow us on Twitter at TortureCast or like us on Facebook. That's TortureCast.com/Facebook/something like that. I don't know. You find it. Google it. Whatever. You can follow us individually. Eric is at 2 out of hits. That's
don't know
the
how
number
to Facebook.
Two. I know. People who don't know how to Facebook, well, they're not on Facebook. You can follow Ben at Fried Duck. You can also follow Willie, the absent Willie, what the hell is this? Is Willie Dills.
Willie Dills.
I don't have anything it's Willie Dills. Right now. Whatever. I'm just too despondent.
Yeah, I've gotten up. I started pacing. I got to wait for
my
computer.
It's like, what the hell are you doing here?
So, gentlemen, Chad is actually too depressed to remember what your Twitter handle is. So,
yeah, he only has like 10,000 followers.
If you're going to go ahead and insult him, now's the time to do it because he won't remember who you are by next week.
But, you can follow us on all those places. You can also find our podcast on all the normal channels, you know, iTunes and Stitcher and everything else. And follow us at TortureCast.com where we post all of our episodes, show notes, and an occasional blog or two. And hopefully we'll be in the press box at least one more time this year. We got to get Ben out there. Unfortunately, we can only get one pass for that Cardinals game because it was so crowded and popular. But it's all good.
That's okay. I'm pretty much always at work anyway, so I'll keep working on that. I'll keep working. One or the other.
All right. Well, that'll do it for episode 96. But for Ben and Eric, this is Chad, and we'll see you next time. Boom.
A big thank you to everybody for listening to the Torture Cast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TortureCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at TortureCast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying, we'll see you next time.